Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hey, guys.
Hello,
hey.
Big shot.
What's new, pussycat?
Whoa, what a great jam that is.
Yeah, yeah. I just saw somewhere, I don't know where, I don't even know where I see things half the time anymore, but Tom Jones, it must have been on TikTok, because that's like my new... I can't
source
watch the
of news.
I can't. Well, I can't watch it. My TikTok feed is remarkably free of any sort of news or opinion.
Oh, cool! All right,
it's just
you've worked the algorithm to such a degree that it doesn't. Like for me, I get on Facebook every third thing that I see is a miraculous cure for baldness.
Yeah, yeah. You know, TikTok doesn't have ads like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, so far it doesn't. And Facebook has just the most of the ads. A lot of the ads are gadgets that I'm like, you know, we could use that.
Yeah, God, they've got us figured out.
I know. It's like really, it's like a cup holder for your cup holder,
right?
That expands into another cup holder, so you can put French fries in it, and you can have a Coke in your cup holder while you're driving. I'm like, well, we could really use that on the way home, but you know, I don't know. It always feels a little, you know, it's a little, the way the ordering process goes and everything on through Instagram, I guess, is what I was thinking. It always feels a little skeezy or something. You know, there's just a little...
Some element to it. I was looking at it. I had my eyes on a nice Norwegian-style sweater from Brooks Brothers.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, you know, it's final sale, 15% off of that. It's not, you know, blah, blah. And I'm looking through it and getting close to the cart.
Mm-hmm.
And then just start reading the reviews. Everyone was like, this is a piece of shit sweater. It's, the shoulders are tight. They puff in the back like the Hunchback. It's just like, good call. $99 saved. Yep.
Yeah. Did you know that the Brooks Brothers dressed Abraham Lincoln?
I did not know that.
Yes, an odd word for me to almost blow a tire on, but Lincoln.
Yeah,
Abraham
Lincoln.
Because I saw I don't know where again. I don't know where I saw this either. Maybe TikTok. Mm-hmm. It might have been CBS Sunday Morning, but there's a display at the Met. You know where they have the Met Gala.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody dresses up fancy.
Yeah.
Or weird, or whatever they do. I kind of don't get, and I don't know why we have to see all that every year, but we do.
We sure do. We should see it a lot.
And it especially seemed weird to me with the what with the, you know, kids being blown up and whatnot in Ukraine. But whatever. You know, you got to dress up like a piano, knock yourself out to go to an art museum. I don't know. I don't get it, but whatever. Yeah. But they have a... Abe Lincoln's jacket that he was shot in.
Oh my God, that's
is on display.
That's a little perverse. Is that next to Jackie Kennedy's pink dress?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's in something like, you know, the Hall of Clothing or something. I don't know.
I'm a tough size to fit.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Brooks Brothers made it. You know, I'm sure they made a trip to the White House for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What am I looking for here?
You were shot in the head, so the jacket should be fine.
Well, no, wait, let me hold on. Lincoln coat.
Looks like I'm wearing a boutonniere. But it's brain matter.
They had to take, they cut some of it off because there was blood.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I think people took it as souvenirs.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Bedside
Faith Saley this morning has the story behind a coat lined in silk and rich in history.
That's your coat.
Oh, that's good.
That's Jane Pauley doing that for you.
I missed that.
Jane Pauley.
I like her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's a Chicago girl or an Indianapolis girl who made it big in Chicago? I can't remember.
She went to IU.
Went to IU?
Indiana, yeah.
Hoosier?
Hoosier.
You know, my people downstairs, Jane and Gene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're Hoosiers through and through.
Nice.
Through and through. Is today my man Gene's 80th?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. 80. My man's 80.
80 years old, man.
I got him. I got him. He's a very sharp dresser.
Mm-hmm.
And he dresses himself. His wife doesn't dress him like mine does. Me.
Don't blame me.
Well, she makes an attempt. She asked me if I wanted to take my golf shirts. I have like three golf shirts and three pairs of golf shorts home. I said, you know, I feel I can replicate this awesome golf outfit, these outfits, when I get back home. Let's leave these here.
Leave them here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I just head over to Golf Galaxy and get me some more Tommy Armour or whatever the fuck it is, whatever their house brand is.
Hagen? No.
Walter Hagen. Yeah, it's a Walter Hagen. I'll just keep Jane playing this. Pauly. But wait, what was I? Yeah. I was.
Lincoln.
I got it. He's a sharp dresser.
Yeah.
He wears like really cool. Casual wear, like colorful and cool. A lot of pastels and whatnot, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so I got him, I got him a hat in the golf shop yesterday.
Well, that's nice.
That is like dreamsicle orange. And I've seen him, I think that's one of his favorite colors. He has a lot of dreamsicle orange type things.
Oh.
So I got him a hat.
Look at that. That's very nice.
And the kid said, "Want me to take the tags off?" I said, no, I don't wear dreamsicle. Look at me.
Yeah, I'm blue.
I'm blue, man.
I'm booberry.
I'm booberry. I said, "Put it in a bag. It's a gift." And he looked at me. I said, "I know. I'm super thoughtful. I don't know what to tell you, bro." And they have no... The season's over. Anyone who's in that golf shop isn't really supposed to be out on the golf course anyway.
Uh-huh.
Like me.
Yep.
So they have no patience. It's like, yeah, whatever, man. What's your number? That's not a golf number. Yeah, I know. It's after May 1st. I can be here. I can be in here. It's okay. It's legal. I was going to buy a shirt for myself, too, but they have, I guess the goal of the golf shop would be to get rid of everything by now. Mm. So they have no, I wear XL, except in golf clothes, I have to wear 2X because they, apparently, they want you to be a little bit leaner out there on the course. So
they're making a judgment, a pre-judgment, or a pre.
Well, yeah, all golf stuff is if you watch watch the golf tournament this weekend, they're all wearing like skin tight shit, you know, because they all work out. You don't need to work out to play golf, I don't think.
John Daly, case in point.
Yeah, that guy hits it a fucking mile and a half. He's walking around with a cigarette and a beer.
He's powered by 17 Diet Cokes. And
Yeah, he looks like Santa Claus now, too. He's got that awesome beard going.
What a fate, man, that guy.
Yeah. He's around a lot now. He does a lot of the pro-am stuff and all that.
Uh-huh.
He seems like a good dude,
mm-hmm.
I think. I don't know. I mean, I just saw a piece on him where it was some charity pro-am, and he was giving kids, I'll give you $500 if it's a par three. If you get it on the green, I'll give you $500 for your charity. And the kid didn't make the green, but he still gave him $500.
Ah, there you go.
Stuff like that. So, kid thought it was cool. And then he gave him a ball.
There you go.
And those little balls are expensive. You think that because based on size, it seems like a baseball would cost more than a golf ball, but I don't think that's the case.
No, I wouldn't guess.
No. All right. Anyway, back to your coat, sir.
Some arrivals at this year's Met Gala at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City were greeted with a lot of fanfare.
Yeah. Well, they showed Lizzo playing her flute, which she dropped. When she saw Beyonce, she dropped her flute and ran, which I thought was kind of cool. Like, oh, shit, Beyonce. She didn't want to even, like, invade her space for one nanosecond.
Wow.
Are you familiar with that Lizzo song that everybody's dancing to on TikTok?
It's about damn
time. In a minute, I'ma need a sentimental man or woman to pump me up. Feeling fussy, walking in my Balenciennes, trying to bring out the fabulous. Cause I give a fuck way too much. I'ma need like two shots in my cup.
Sorry, I accidentally asked you guys yesterday if you wanted to start at 10. But I meant 9.
So I've been sitting here for a while. And we're starting earlier, which I appreciate. Thank you, guys. But so I have some stuff is loaded into the machine already. I didn't mean to cut you off like that, Brendan. I know you're used to me going, wait, hold on, I'll find it just a minute.
Right,
I think it's on TikTok. It might be on Instagram. I don't know. Why can't I find this? Why is my like? Why won't it? I hit play. It won't play. I know that's usually what happens, but I'm sort of like prepared today.
Way too well produced.
Yeah, I apologize for the slick nature of what we're doing. I even found Lincoln's coat fairly quickly. You know, I still had to mouth the words as I was typing them. But anyway.
Yeah, it's a nice jam.
I like it. I haven't heard, I think it's like the number one streaming song and all that. But pretty much every other TikTok is somebody dancing to that. And there's like... Sure. There's a prescribed dance that everyone's trying to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I think is probably what she does. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but everybody seems to be trying to do a particular dance. And I saw I've seen some Jimmy Fallon TikTok where he has, one of his bits is trying to imitate a TikTok dance with a celebrity, but you only see it one time. And he did it with Shakira. And
nice.
Jimmy was all embarrassed that they didn't get it right. But quite frankly, I thought Shakira did fine. You know, but
sure.
Pretty much any Shakira dance is good by me.
Mm-hmm. She's a natural.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, back to your coat, sir.
And some arrived undercover from a museum warehouse outside of Washington, D.C.
So you went to the Met Gala, did you know that? Or gala, or whatever?
Nice to be represented in some form.
Yeah.
Other than a $5 bill used as a tip.
The people that show up at that thing don't look like they tip. It looks like they spent all their money on their costume. But that could, you know.
They tip over.
They tip yes, they do. They tip over. Yeah. Dressed like pianos and candelabras.
That's a lot of secrecy.
It just the whole thing reminds me of the live stage production of Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the singing candelabra and all that kind of stuff. It's like,
yeah.
It doesn't seem like it'd be, I mean, then you go in and have cocktails and appetizers, you know, dressed as a Grecian urn or whatever. I mean,
I love your teapot dress.
Yeah, right? All right, here we go.
About getting this here.
Yes, absolutely. It came with a police escort.
Okay, so they have masks on, and I'm down with masks, but it's just an interview. It's a TV interview. Can't you just stand 6 feet apart and take the masks off?
Yeah.
The British guy is better than the girl. The girl is super muscled. But whatever.
Mm.
Whatever. You know, I guess you'd be out of the shot and it'd be complicated. It goes from a one camera to a two camera or a one camera with a lot of B-roll. And, you know, we just don't have time for that here at the Met. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm the curator of everybody's old jacket.
Quite rightly, you know, it's a treasured object.
The treasured object is the coat.
Now, she doesn't sound muffled now because she's doing a voiceover. She took off her thing, so.
Okay.
Sorry, getting caught in the weeds here. Apologies.
That Abraham Lincoln was wearing on April 14th, 1865.
Remember that day?
1865.
It rings a bell.
Yeah, I'll bet it. I bet it did. Yeah, I bet it did.
The night he was assassinated at Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C.
We have George Washington's coat, and then we have Lincoln's great coat.
Andrew Bolton is head curator of the Met's Costume Institute.
It's slightly an out-of-body experience to...
I got it. Mom, Dad, I got it. I'm a head curator of the Costume Institute. Hello?
Oh, son, your journey is complete.
Lecturing us about Abraham Lincoln with a British accent.
Realize that this was worn by President Lincoln and the circumstances in which... It was worn.
Circumstances.
It was an assassination by a failed actor, John Wilkes Booth.
It's a dismembers only jacket, right?
Dismembers only? Did you just say that?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Wow, good thing I have this ready, too.
Bring the pun.
All right.
Incredibly meaningful and very emotional, I think.
The coat is part of the Met's new exhibit, In America, an
Coats
anthology
of dead people.
Of
Coats of dead people.
Yeah. This would be interesting.
Fashion, which illuminates anthology the complex of history of our country through clothing.
Sometimes the most moving.
Can't we just see that in a movie?
I'm dying to show you this. This is Millard Fillmore's
underpants.
Vest.
Look, Grover Cleveland wore panties.
Look at this. Look at how gigantic these are. They're so frilly. It's so delicate. It's got a little pocket in it. What do you think that's for? Snuff?
Stories are stories that are untold. And the story is, for many people, will be an untold story.
Untold and unseen as well. Shortly after her husband's death, Mary Todd Lincoln gave it to their beloved doorman, Alphonse Daw.
She gave your coat to the doorman, bruh. What's up with that?
What? Really?
The doorman. Ooh, what's up with that?
The doorman.
Yeah, she gave it to the doorman. Well, because they wear coats, I guess, you know.
Outside a bit, I guess.
Bloody coat.
He must have been swimming in that. He was a slight little fellow.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, bloody.
Whose family kept it for over a century before bequeathing it to Ford's Theater in 1968. The coat, created by Brooks Brothers for Lincoln's second...
I've been bequeathed.
Yeah. I guess...
Open a window.
That means... he gave it to them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. But you bequeath it, I guess. That's museum talk. Mm-hmm. My disco demolition helmet is on loan to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. I have not bequeathed it. They tried to get me to bequeath it, but I would not.
Just a loan?
A 5-year loan, yeah.
When is that? That seems like it's been there for more than 5 years.
I renewed it.
Okay.
Technically, I've bequeathed it, but...
I was going to say, third renewal is a bequeathment.
Well, I think, yeah, it's like if you don't pick up your dry cleaning
right
in 60 days or something, then they can sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it seems like a cool place for it to be. So, I'm sure Brendan disagrees with that. Hasn't the game suffered enough lately? I mean, it was a forfeiture.
That's right.
Second inauguration has never before left the D.C. area, ending it to Ford's Theater in 1968. The coat, created by Brooks Brothers for Lincoln's second inauguration, has never before.
Kudos to you, bro. Re-elected.
Yes.
Yeah. My man. My man. And during the Civil War.
Country was in crisis. They wanted me to stay at the helm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good thing you did. Good thing you
How
did.
How are you doing now? Any of that fine work unraveling to some
a
degree?
Bit, a little bit. But the good news is the aliens are on their way, so it doesn't really matter. Last night I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
You know, like what, when the aliens make us their slaves, what, you know, what would I prefer to do?
What kind of role would you like to play?
Yeah, I guess outdoor stuff.
Do you see yourself in management?
No, not really. No, I don't think so.
Just a mule doing stuff outdoors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have selected outdoors for you.
I wouldn't mind being outdoors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe there's
landscaping
some,
or something.
Okay. You feel they're coming here to colonize, or they're coming here to, maybe there's some fantastic mineral that, you know, maybe there's something that they need that we've been overlooking. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And it's going to be something like dirt.
Dirt or horse shit or something like that.
Or our own poop.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Shovel that over there, you know, into this. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I think first they're going to humiliate us for a couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just make us do, you know, like prank us.
Sure.
You open a door and a bucket of alien slime will fall on you. You know, stuff like that.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Left the D.C. area and is rarely shown to the public in order to protect its fragile nature. What's not on display...
They're blowing it with little... those bulbs, you know, that shoot air, like to clean a camera lens or something, they're just blowing that on your jacket. Can you feel that?
Yeah. Interesting.
I won't swat it then, since it's an annoying feeling and it's a delicate coat.
Yeah, no, they're trying to make it nice.
I'll just lay back and enjoy it.
Yeah, why don't you?
Play is an embroidered message.
But the inside of the coat is very meaningful because it has the inscription, one Duck. Country, one destiny.
No, one people, one destiny.
Get out of here now.
Yeah, get out.
Well, it was for the inauguration, so, you know, one people, one destiny. But, babe, where's my second inaugural coat? Mm. Oh, Abe, you're not going to wear that again, are you? Huh? Have to always show off that you were reelected? Shut up, Mary! You crazy bitch!
Came from a speech from one of Lincoln's heroes. It's a coat is very meaningful because it has the inscription, one country, one destiny, which came from a speech from one of Lincoln's heroes. So it has Coach this very Taylor. Personal message for Lincoln.
And how?
What? When the guy from the museum is talking, don't talk.
Sounds okay? like something Coach Taylor would say. Doesn't it?
Yeah. I think that's who, that was your, wasn't that who you got it from, Coach Taylor?
Yes.
Friday Night Candles? Friday Night Lanterns?
Right.
All right. Anyway, the whole shoulder is missing because people took it, the bloody...
Symbolic for a man who had to probably carry such a complicated inner life.
Absolutely. And that is obviously something that he spoke to Brooks Brothers about, and Brooks Brothers came up with the idea of the lining.
Perhaps the most moving aspect of the coat is the part that's not there. The lining that was soaked in Lincoln's blood.
The sleeve has been severed because of the... lining that has been cut away for relics and sold as relics. So the sort of gruesomeness and the sadness and the pathos.
Thank God we have him to explain how we should feel about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sadness, the pathos.
It's a very important historical event.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure if you Americans realize that Lincoln was in fact assassinated in a theater box with a gun to his head.
I have been to, Brendan, I'm sure you wish that you'd been assassinated at Tootsie.
Oh, absolutely. Pull me out of my
business. Anybody from the Booth family here? Come get me. Come take me. I'm ready. Ready to go.
So self-indulgent.
Take it. Tootsie. Tootsie. Anyway, so your coat. Brooks Brothers. I don't know how we even got onto Brooks Brothers. I don't remember. while we got here.
I love a good Brooks Brothers shirt.
Yeah.
Classic Oxford.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever worn anything by Brooks Brothers.
Yeah, I do like their shirts, too.
Yeah.
You should go there. Start shopping there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get that East Coast feeling.
Let's go in. Let's wild down at the Brooks Brothers on the Mag Mile.
All right,
before we go down and piss on the bean.
I want to do some recon, make sure they have my size.
Me too.
Come back later.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've never worn anything by Brooks Brothers.
Hmm.
But I'm not opposed to it. I just,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get a suit, like a uniform suit, like a band, like a band in the 60s.
I was going to say, you probably, as a young prep school snob, had
a blazer.
Did it have a crest on it?
Yeah.
And Jarum mayonnaise, a skateboard?
No, not a family crest, the school.
A flaming avocado?
the school crest, whatever that was.
Gotcha.
Flint tree.
A whip.
Yeah.
A whip and a cast.
Whip
and a microphone.
Pedo unplugged. Latin teacher.
Yeah, pedo.
Flintridge Preparatory School for Boys. It's no longer that. Now it's just Flintridge Prep. And girls can go there. Which
you
probably
know,
would have made it more fun for me.
I'm not sure if this was something that was only sent to me, but our subscriber of the day from the other day, Amy Seahack.
I think her brother confirmed to me that it was Chihak.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
She sent a video on her Steve Dahl historical sites tour of your front of the front of your house.
I know. Oh. She's standing in the driveway.
It's amazing. And something that in my
imagining of it and my visualization of this sprawling house was something that took me by surprise was the fence of bushes in the front.
Is that
the way it's always been?
Yes. We always have been very isolated from the...
Oh my God, it made so much sense seeing it.
Yeah. Yeah, just, it's always been like that. Now, I'm sure if we moved into that house, mm-hmm. Janet would cut down all of those bushes.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
But, in fact, when we moved into our first house in Western Springs, I came home one day from work, and she had all of the trees in front of the house removed so people could see right in. And
what's up, Mrs. T?
I grew up behind a wall of shrubbery. So
an interesting revelation there to see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell. There wasn't so much scenery from the other houses, but it did not seem to be a common theme amongst your neighbors.
No, it's not. it's not.
Man.
And it's CHAC is how you say it.
CHAC.
I think
Rick's like project, like The Shining? Did he have a maze or something?
No, it's just there's giant oak trees in front, and then there was shrubbery, and then I guess I don't know why I really wasn't involved in the decision to grow it up. And I
so
maybe,
they planted those, or they chose that house because of the isolation.
I don't know. I honestly,
darling, let's live here. No one shall see in.
It probably affected, you know, our lifestyle for sure. Mm-hmm. But because that did seem to be party central for all of the neighbors and my parents.
Your house.
Yeah. And party, I guess, because it was pretty private.
Yeah.
But I don't really know. I mean, I don't remember what it looked like when we moved in. So.
Yeah.
But the bushes were, I believe they were there. It's possible the decision to grow them so that no one can see in, you know, they're like 20 feet tall, 30 feet tall, whatever they are, was,
yeah,
that was a Roger thing.
It was really interesting.
Or Carol, perhaps.
Yeah.
Amy was really plucky, though. She was, because she got really close.
Yes, she's on the apron of the driveway.
I know. Yeah, I'm surprised the guards didn't...
They have a sign that says alarm, too.
Yeah, there's an alarm sign right behind her. I think that kept her from... She asked me if it was okay. I said, yeah, just don't disturb the tenants, because everything's been going great with them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I sold her a ticket.
that's cool.
Yeah, Brendan at doll.com. Or just buy the book, and you get a free ticket.
In California now, you need to get permission to take anything down. So those like really overgrown trees in front of your house that drop chloroform or chlorophyll on the roof, you have to get a permit to take anything down now, because they're into, you know, they don't want the water table to change, and they want the roots to absorb water that rolls down the mountain. But I know that one of the things your dad told me is that you can't, you have to apply to take anything down that you have. So those hedges may be part of
it. Might change your tax status.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm so used to it, I don't even think about it. But she says we made her a subscriber of the day, I think last week or this, maybe earlier in the week, I can't remember. But she wrote in her follow-up email, "Thanks for making me subscriber of the day. People sent me Facebook messages that you'd read my email. I knew if I did this, it would be a great bit, just like touring Hollywood star homes. It made me laugh to see the carport where the yellow Mercedes sat. Allie and her husband," and this is, Allie is a woman that I guess they rented an Airbnb from, and she lives down at the end of the street, and I don't know her, I don't believe I know her brother, but the dad was, when I was out there and I was trying to get rid of Rick's stuff, he had a storage locker, and I was told that he had all kinds of priceless antiques in it, which...
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
Probably means drugs.
Well, no, he said, you should have Allie come take a look at it with you. And I'm like, who's Allie? Mm-hmm. Allie Cooper. Have you ever heard of Allie Cooper?
Mm-hmm. School's out for summer? No more Mr. Nice Guy?
Speaking of that, if I could just switch over for a second. You know, you're getting a lot of negative press, Johnny.
Tell me about it.
Depp. Although a lot of people are...
There's a lot of people rallying behind me.
Yeah, yeah. I did not know the Trump... Sorry.
Understanding what I've been up against.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I did not know the trial. I thought the trial was in L.A. It just seems like an L.A. trial, but it's in Virginia.
Virginia, yes.
Because the op-ed was in the Washington Post, so...
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And you wisely didn't sue them, because they'd have real lawyers.
Yes, probably.
Yeah. And also, I was corrected by one of our fantastic subscribers, Julie Crabtree, that you can lead a witness during cross-examination. So, just for what that's worth.
You can't?
You can. Because yesterday I was saying that...
Can you make a drink, though?
That... I was saying that Amber's attorney wasn't objecting to Camilla.
Cammy.
Get over leading here, girl. Leading her, but you can lead somebody during cross-examination, apparently.
Gotcha.
And, you say that once again, I was thinking of Cammy.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Understood. So I just wanted to read this very quickly to you. Alice Cooper,
my man,
has given an honest review has given an honest review of his Hollywood Vampires bandmate Johnny Depp's guitar skills.
Here it comes.
Yep.
Props.
Speaking on the Mistress Carrie podcast,
it's dark stuff.
Yeah. Alice Cooper revealed whether Johnny Depp's guitar playing holds a candle to his acting. To his acting. I respect Johnny, of course. He's a great actor. He's really great. He's fun. I've seen all of his movies. But I see him as a guitar player, and he can play. Of course, this is Alice Cooper. I don't think he can play. But he knows a good guitar player, I guess, right? He
certainly does.
He just did an album.
I'm filling in for him.
He just did an album with Jeff Beck.
Yes.
I mean, anybody who thinks he's a movie star trying to be a rock star is totally wrong on that.
It's a, it's Depp and Beck. It's called Bep.
Or Deck. Maybe it should be Deck. He continued, he's a much better rock star, and it's in him. He was a guitar player way before he was an actor. When you were 12, we learned.
Yes, this is my first love.
First love. So when he steps on stage with Aerosmith guitarist and Hollywood Vampires bandmate Joe Perry, he can trade leads with Joe, and Joe says, yeah, he's good.
That's right. Guys from Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Joe Perry.
Yeah.
Guy with and first, I can two first names.
I can't. It's a good DJ name. Mm-hmm. And I can totally trust Johnny to take any lead up there, but like I said, we all respect each other so much that nobody would ever argue. It would just be so uncool to argue with the other. Yeah. No,
Lead. Name any a lead. Yeah. Name one.
Walk This Way.
Sunshine mother catching fine up in the air. Seesaw lady was licking up the gravy, said, I don't really care. Walk this way. Walk this way.
Nice. Kudos, man. I won't clap for a sunset, but I'll clap for that.
You're welcome.
Nice. Excellent work.
It's my first love.
Understood. So back to Amy Sehak. Thanks. Allie and her husband totally knew Roger was a creeper. Allie cut loose with Rick Dahl always being a junkie. And this is my dad. She's an amazing woman, and she's an antiques dealer, and she could come in to appraise everything in Rick's storage locker. As it turns out, he had a bunch of empty old suitcases and one of those giant cable spools, you know? That people make tables out of, you know?
Uh-huh.
And He had nothing.
That's the estate of Rick Dahl.
I mean, I called 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And they were like, we don't usually take this kind of, this is even junky for us. Shouldn't you just call a refuse company?
Mm-hmm.
No, they refused me.
Some of this stuff is flammable, you know. You might want to consider that.
Allie and her husband totally knew Roger was a creeper. The whole neighborhood knew. Allie, come on now.
Come on. Jeez.
Good thing I got out of there when I was, basically 16, I guess. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Jesus.
Yeah. A creeper. Tell us more about Roger Dahl. Oh, total creeper.
Total creeper.
But he kind of was.
He was.
He had a
pen pal in Japan.
Uh huh.
That he met at the airport.
That he went to the airport. Yeah. Junko.
Yeah.
His pen pal Junko.
And he went to Hawaii with two women. And then on the last day, the one that was sleeping on the pullout couch asked if she could stay in the bed, and he made a pillow wall between them. But I feel it was cosmetic in nature.
I think he might have left a little wiggle room underneath one of the pillows.
Yeah.
And there was a time when you were gone, and I was home alone with him in Western Springs. And he asked if I'd ever seen Deep Throat and asked to watch it with me.
Have you ever heard of a blowjob?
So I went upstairs. And I locked the bedroom door, and I called you in California, and I said, I can't believe you left me with this. What am I going to do? And you said, I wouldn't watch that with him.
Yeah. Well, I actually was at Disneyland when you called me.
I know.
Oh, my God.
The people, we were out there signing up the LA affiliate for our syndicated show, the Steve and Gary show. And, I was, at Disneyland, fucked up at Disneyland. She's like, your dad. Didn't he also tell you that my mom didn't satisfy him?
And that he had
so he's basically hitting on Janet.
He had to decide whether he was going to just like end the marriage or just get a girlfriend, but he wasn't satisfied.
But you want to watch Deep Throat?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I know, but it's, with the benefit of age, it just seems really sad. And he was... kind of toxic, and he'd been stripped of all his money because his business manager stole from him. And with Roger, money equaled value. And so, I have a long view of it now. When I was there, I was just horrified, but now I get it. And he got most of his money back, and he was able to sort of knit his life together because we...
Weren't you breastfeeding Patrick at the time?
Yes. Isn't that horrifying?
Did you whip those babies out in front of them? Get them all whipped up?
No, not after that.
I know, but before that.
Whipped up. Stop it.
Whipped out.
Oh, I was very discreet. It was my first child. Mm-hmm. By the last one, I was not as discreet. Oh,
yeah, in Tischler's Market. hanging off like a puppy. Anyway, turns out that... Allie is not keeping the family secret anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of scary because, your mom, when she died, your mom had an endowment for this catechism program at the church. And then your father carried that forward, and he handpicked the person that would run
the
it.
The teacher.
And,
that's who he went to Hawaii with.
Yeah, I know.
And he was trying to develop a curriculum with her.
Yeah,
a national. I said, Dad, it's basically you're just republishing the children's Bible. No, it's different.
But it adds a dimension to the creeper reputation, when you're in there with the little kids teaching them about Jesus, and it's just creepy.
Well, he was just skis a lot, but he was skeezing on the teacher.
Yeah.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. And it's good that we had time to make peace and he had time to rehabilitate.
Yeah. Just in the nick of time.
Well, we have to send heavenly props to Rick for passing away, because if Rick had lived longer, he would have really toxified your dad and you never would have spoken to him.
Rick definitely was, it was in his best interest to keep me on the outside of things, for sure. But Amy probably could have stayed at the house with Rick. I'm sure he would have turned it into an Airbnb.
Like you have.
Yes, I have, actually, I guess. But you can stay for a year. All right. Well, anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny that Allie who my dad spoke so highly of, correctly identified him as, and Roger Dahl as the Creeper. All right, let's do this here. They had kind of a That Girl or Mary Tyler Moore existence for a couple of street whores. I can also see it from the point of view of the masturbator.
As you're welcoming a visitor into the bathroom stall, do you hold the door for them?
And you're going to have to sit through a few political speeches.
You cock.
My name is Geek.
Blue blockers.
Why did I take this on?
It was very vibrant.
You call these glands?
I'm addicted to this place, man. Angry coffee? He was edging himself.
Somewhere between grumpy and pensive.
It's bitches and kayaks for me.
If it's fucked up, it's probably my fault.
I'm stricken with fear.
And then I try to be a smart ass.
Plus, you've already determined that you're lazy.
Maybe you don't understand the internet like I do.
I'm excited to hear what you got.
I think he speaks for all of us, Steve.
I don't consider my day to be started until I've offended somebody. The Dahlcast. Steve, Doc, Brendan.
Sure.
Janet joining us today. Mm-hmm. Mike Side. For your listening pleasure.
Hi, Janet.
Hello.
Janet.
Thanks to everybody for subscribing. We couldn't do it without you. Well, there'd be no point in doing it, really. I mean, I suppose we could just put it out there on the internet. See,
we'd be 90 minutes late for our other jobs. And yeah, thus yeah. Fired.
right. Absolutely. Also, thanks to our podcast partners, David Hochberg. Team Hochberg, 855-56-DAVID, 56DAVID.com. Don't forget, David's got that very interesting radio show on WGN Radio, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., Home Sweet Home Chicago. Also mortgages and, you know, refis and all that kind of loan stuff that you might need. Mm-hmm. Foot First Podiatry, 847-352-9221, footfirst.com, Chicago, Oak Brook, Schaumburg.
Fixing feet beautifully. Nice.
Yeah.
That
was like, let's get after
it. I think this one. All right, good. Thank you, Mr. Greeley. Appreciate it. I want to get back to your writing.
All right.
The skankiness of girls of the 2000s. It's a series. I know it's a series. All right. Also, Walker Law Firm. Let me just read. I was telling you about that article in The Atlantic, which I don't normally. It's not like I read The Atlantic, but on Apple News, it gets pushed.
We subscribe, though, honey.
We do? We stop subscribing to things?
I get it in paper.
Oh, my God. She subscribes to like $20,000 worth of stuff.
No, but
Eric Zorn has a thing that he... Eric Zorn?
Picayune, yeah.
Yeah. What is that called?
The Picayune.
No, but what is that form of communication called? A stack or something?
It's a Substack, I think, yeah.
Substack. I'm just kidding. You can subscribe to whatever you want. I'm good with it. It's just that it's hard to remember all your logins when I have to log in to read stuff. Anyway, there's a really good article about why you want to do estate planning. The stakes can be surprisingly high. If you don't plan for your demise, you relinquish control of your last wishes to a rickety, decades-old bureaucratic process that will do it for you and may not include some of the people closest to you. For these cases, every U.S. state has laws that automatically designate their heirs, sometimes called intestate succession laws. These laws differ slightly, whatever. That seems bad, right?
I read it. Yeah, some states, like Texas in particular, goes backwards and not in a logical fashion at all.
Yeah. Mm. So contact John Heggie, J-H-E-G-G-I-E, at WachnerLawFirm.com, W-O-C-H-N-E-R, LawFirm.com. Illinois has some fairly complicated... probate law, so you're going to want to be tightened up, and you know, I'm sure if you don't live in Illinois, I'm sure that the John can send you in the right direction. And in fact might be able to do. I don't know you know, many times attorneys are licensed in multiple states, so talk to them and ask them, and you know,
yeah,
tell them we said hey.
Mm-hmm.
Roast2order.shop, roast to order. I lied. I said that we had enough coffee to get us through this trip, but we don't, and I'm back on regular coffee. And it's like I mean, I'm not kidding. Janet was watching me drink it. It was like somebody was forcing me to drink a gallon of gasoline.
Oh, boy.
It's...
Well, because we ran out, I got you double caffeinated because I thought, well, if you're not
going to... I think that could be, you know, that's a... Yes, maybe that's why the show's a little peppier than usual.
But no. He screamed when he was drinking it. You forget how... I mean, that's why we went through so much more coffee than you anticipated.
I just had another sip of it. But I have to have double caffeinated because there's no point in drinking it otherwise.
Right, yeah, there's no pleasure.
And you know, I only have to drink half as much.
Has he screamed in his sleep lately?
No, he hasn't screamed in his sleep too much.
Or wet the bed.
But then again, I'm usually asleep before he is. So if he did scream, I might have slept through it.
Yeah, I don't think I have.
Just that one time when you fell off the bed?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I have woken myself, awakened myself a couple of times right before I was going to wet the bed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Because I take this headache medicine sometimes, and I don't know what it does. I think it opens up all of your capillaries or something. Mm-hmm. And so it makes you one of the side effects is you have to pee a lot. And I guess I've trained myself now in a dream, if I'm ever in a dream peeing and it feels really good to be peeing in the dream, like,
yeah,
wake up because you're starting to wet the bed.
I had a dream the other night where I took a giant leak. I mean, multi-room
leak. Did it feel good?
And I think I was impressed, like, whoa, look how much I can hold.
But you didn't wet
the bed? What's my secret? No, I didn't.
Did you wake up, like, right when it was happening?
No. Wow. Just sprayed through it.
I was having trouble finding a suitable place, and when I found it, it was like a hole in the floor.
Okay.
In a wooden floor, and I was like, oh my God, this feels so... And then I was like, shit, wake up, man, wake up. Wow. And already my boxer shorts had a little pee stain on them.
Yeah, I don't do that, because then
I don't do it on purpose.
The comforter, the mattress pad, the sheets.
Was it like a glory hole for the lazy?
it was
the floor.
It was like a pee hole for, like... It was like a bar that was like a funky bar, you know, a dive bar or something.
Yeah.
It was where a toilet used to be, I think.
Where's the toilet?
Yeah, over just there. Pee down into the hole. Okay. I was like, oh, it feels
standing
so good
on it.
Yeah, but I woke myself up. Because, otherwise Jana calls, service masters or whatever to come, you know,
right,
decontaminate the bedding. So, rightfully so. And I have
all waterproof mattress pads.
I don't know what's... This is not Janet behind the scenes.
It was better
Steve
than garbage
is dead.
Bags. Just,
you know, you can Allie Cooper me.
He was
She's
a leaker.
Cutting down the bushes.
Yeah. He was a leaker.
It's just in case. I don't want you to wreck the mattress.
Well, I don't do it on purpose.
I
make a choice to wet the bed.
It's purpose or not purpose. The cute thing is that... You apologize, but I would be the one that had to do all the linens, so...
Well, I apologize for that extra work.
Oh.
Brendan got a great pun in there. No one heard it.
I didn't hear it. I'm too busy trying to control my wife.
These headphones have a short...
Brendan.
Hold on. Yes, Brendan.
What did I say? Oh, he's a leaker?
Yeah, is that it? Maybe Allie was a leaker. So he's a leaker. Yeah, I forget how it was, but you said leaker, and that was very good. In terms of family secrets versus nighttime urination.
I'm just thinking this is going to make a terrible sequel to Inception, where you go, where you've trained your dreams to...
Well, I've at least trained myself to wake up before I wet the bed.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw Sarah Silverman on Seth Meyers, I guess, last night. I don't know. I can't. And she's got a musical.
Oh, yeah.
Called Bedwetter.
Oh, okay.
About her being a bedwetter when she was a kid.
Cool.
I think it's off Broadway for now, but she seemed pretty proud of it. And I think she's very talented, so I don't think she would be proud of it if it wasn't good.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bedwetter, it's called.
Nice.
Musical comedy. So.
Huh.
Good for her.
Making a big splash on Broadway, is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a pandemic.
In all seriousness, you didn't like Urinetown, right? That when you saw it, didn't you see it at Broadway in Chicago? You weren't a big fan?
We were not a big fan, but I can't even remember it.
Yeah, it was like a bunch of people dressed like Nazis with shields or something, right?
I don't, honest to God, I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I thought it'd be more like Our Town or something, but it was very weird. Yeah. Did we see that in London, or did we see that? We saw Billy Elliot in London. Right. Loved it. Just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So inspirational.
Is that Elton John?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just so magical and inspirational. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Urinetown was not, I wouldn't put that on a recommended list.
It was savagely adored, but we didn't.
Yeah. I feel that, you know, I used to, yeah, I don't know about, I don't really care what critics say anymore, because now they have to, in order to get noticed, they have to be super critical of everything. So, so that must have been back before they had to be critical of things, because anybody who saw that and liked it is full of shit. It got paid off to write that it was good, is what I'm saying. Roast to order, roast2order.shop. I know we do have freshly roasted coffee winging its way towards our home in Western Springs, because I got the announcement from the Postal Service.
I texted Mike Maskow today because Urlacher's son got an offer from University of Iowa to play football, and Mike's a Hawkeye.
Look, I see what he's doing, Doug. He's going around us. He's going to have his own
The Brendan Greeley Show, Author's Corner, brought to you by Foot First Podiatry.
Got to have the side hustle.
And by Roast to Order. And by Goose Island. The official beer of the Brendan Greeley's Book and Bicycle Club. Joe, what do we have on tap for today?
Well, essay? And he'll just like, right. You know, like I'd never even existed.
Musical director Doug Julin. Hello, Doug, and the orchestra over there.
Fabulous to be here today, Brendan. Fabulous. Whipped up another theme for one of your concepts. So funny. So charmed. So thrilled.
I have, I'm going to play this because I've had it open forever. It's a video. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but it's Alvino Ray. It's who had an orchestra, mm-hmm. and he also was able to make his guitar, he could play the slide guitar and make it talk.
I can't believe you're going to play this.
Well, I kind of just want to play this beginning part, because this is how I imagine when I hear this, I imagine these guys from the 50s, I think, mm-hmm. are talking about Expo 76. That's not a negative thing that I said. There was a deafening silence there. So
I'm just curious to see. I'm just curious, yeah.
It's stage 6, no admittance, Alvino Ray and his orchestra shooting. And this is going to be a writer who walks up to the director in the director's chair, who is sitting next to the camera, which is on rails, you know, and they're gonna getting ready to film Alvino Ray and his orchestra.
Okay. All right.
How's it look, all right?
Okay.
Hello, Wally. How's it going?
Not so good. I've got an office full of blank sheets of paper that keep saying, write on me, brother, write on me. The only thing I've written so far is the title, Jam Session, and I didn't make that up.
Maybe you better get yourself a collaborator, somebody who's familiar with this Hepcat stuff.
Oh, Hepcat's a bit corny, Mr. Marley. They're called alligators now.
Not according to my information.
We're ready, Mr. Marley.
All right.
The things that tickle you are so bizarre.
Alligators, man.
Alligators.
You cats are alligators.
He made me watch this whole thing, and then he made me watch the orchestra part where there's some sort of a puppet doing some kind of singing. And it's so bizarre. It's like an acid dream, how I imagine an acid dream to be. And to look over and see his face contorted with pleasure, like he's leeringly grinning at this.
It's like a puppet.
The puppet's singing that.
It's a puppet that looks like a ukulele.
Wow.
And, it's psychedelic, man.
And he's doing this on a lap steel. Well, not a lap, pedal steel. Mm-hmm. And he's not, it sounds like he's using, you know, like the thing that Joe uses and Peter Frampton uses. And
the talk box there.
Yeah, but he's not. He's not. Because I used to watch him on the King Family Show. He was their uncle. He would come on sometimes.
And, Alvino Ray.
Hello, Alvino. He can make his guitar say, hello, Alvino.
You had the weirdest childhood, but you should send it to Doc next time.
Well, that's because we were behind the bushes. We were do anything we wanted back there.
Next time Doc takes a lot of cough syrup or something, he can watch it because it's an out-of-body experience.
I said it to him already. All right.
It's talking to me.
Yeah, you Hepcats. They say this. I got 5 or 6 blank pages that just say it right on me, brother.
That's Squaresville, man. We're alligators now.
And like after he watched it 2 hours later, he goes, all I have on the paper is jam session. Like completely out of context. Hours later, he's saying, all I have on the paper is jam session.
And that's not even original. He's trading licks with the clarinetist.
But wow, what a showdown. The puppet is. Yeah, the
but
puppet.
The puppet is. But let me see if I can get to the part where the puppet talks. Okay. Glenn, Glenn. Hold on, I went too far.
Stop it.
What?
Steve's...
Glenn, Glenn.
Steve is tilting his head like a dog.
Well, he later went on to actually make it... I mean, hello, Alvino.
There's a...
the puppet talks somewhere in here, but it's like
please
too
don't.
Long.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, I know.
I'm glad Rosie had... There were no monitors here because those sounds would have hurt her ears.
Dog whistle.
Yeah, I was getting way up there.
Yeah.
There's another, like this was a thing that was happening in country music as well.
Mm-hmm.
The talking pedal steel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of hooked up. It is hooked up with a kind of a talk box, like a little driver speaker that feeds it into a plastic tube and stuff, and you shape it with your mouth.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
Brendan! Over.
I've got it. Mr. Julian sent it over. But I have to say...
And ready guitar center manager character, please. Can you imagine two guys
get
swapping
off the pedal steels, guys?
Swapping, just showing YouTube videos to each other at the counter.
Have you seen this Pete Drake video?
Oh, check
it
out.
Way better. But Alvino didn't use the talk box, man. Hello, Alvino. All right, this is Pete Drake on the pedal steel from the 60s.
His name is Pete Drake. He got the brilliant idea one time to make his steel guitar talk, and he actually does it right now with a beautiful song, Forever. Pete Drake.
I should be talking this up right now. Talking steel guitar.
Plenty of room.
Pete Drake, lay it on me, Pedro. Right now. Or in just a minute or two. Whatever you feel like.
The guitar is going to do the talking.
I hope so. I hope somebody does so I can stop talking. I think it's going to happen right about now. Do you feel?
You gotta send that to Drake.
Do you feel?
I bet he could make something out of that.
Yeah.
So But he's using the, you know.
I've got to say, there's no way Alvino Ray's doing that without.
No, he is. He did not have that, the benefit of that.
Are you just seeing the puppet's mouth moving?
No, you see him.
Alvino's off screen?
No, he's on screen. Hello, Alvino. Now.
Maybe he's got a wah-wah pedal?
Yes, he does have a wah-wah pedal. He's using that for sure.
Okay.
But here's the thing, that this is now that I see Pete Drake in the 60s using the talk box.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a young man in
black. You were a ventriloquist too, right, for a little while?
That's right, brother. That's correct. Talk to my friend Weave. My friend Weave. Hi, Weave.
Hi, Weave.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Yeah.
Long before puppetry of the penis on Broadway.
I can't get mine to stretch out, you know. it'd be more of a, you know, what do they call it? When they do magic right in front of you. It wouldn't be a
disappearing act?
Oh, you know, get out. Just go away.
You can't set her up like that, Steve.
I know. As I was doing it, she's looking at me like, seriously? Is this where you want to go with this? So we used to rent, you rent PA systems back in the day. You know, if you were playing a high school dance or something, high schools didn't have, like, you know, a PA system, right? Mm-hmm. And we used to rent a PA system from this guy who ran this music store, local music store, and his name was Laurie, and he claimed that he invented the talk box. And we always believed him, but we always wondered why, if he invented that, he was still just working at this, like, yeah, you know, 300 square foot music store.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out he didn't, obviously, because that was in the 70s. So it was already invented in the 60s, so... He just lied. It's a weird thing to lie about. Yet on the other hand, before Google and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no proof.
Yeah, and so if something that obscure, you would assume would be true, because you could lie about so many things. Yeah, no.
Those were the days.
Yeah. Yeah. So we believed it. But and he had one, and he would say that was the one that, you know, the prototype or whatever. And we're like, oh, cool. Uh-huh. And then we would wonder, like, when we got, we're like, why is he just in here still? Because that's, I guess they don't sell that many of them. And really, I mean, Joe Walsh and Peter Frampton, the only two I can think of off the top of my head. I guess in Bon Jovi. You guys use one, right?
Oh, well, man, yeah. I should use that now. My voice is just having some struggles on this tour. I should just voice box the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think Sambuca was using it, right?
Yeah. Sambora, I think his name was.
Oh, I thought it was Sambuca.
Mm-hmm. Guy's dead to me, man.
I know. Come on, man. Life's too short, right? Get a nice bottle of Hampton water.
I think it's Life's Been Good. There's a song that uses that. Not Life's Too Short.
Yeah. Actually, yesterday, when I went in,
Hampton Water, thanks for the plug, man. Me and Jesse are running around the world with Hampton Water.
Yeah. Say hi to Jesse for me.
Yeah.
Fat little kid of yours.
He's at the Golden Corral right now.
A little fat fuck. Tell him I said
he's chubby.
When I was in the, went into buy the hat, you know, for downstairs for Gene, and to get some more bullets, as I call them, golf balls.
Be careful when you talk about bullets these days. You might get on a list. You know.
Well, at the airport or something, yeah, but it was in a golf shop. I said, as I told you, I told him to ask him to put the hat in a bag, and he said, you want the balls in a bag too? I said, no, I'm going to eat those in the car.
You know, you're.
And he's like, get the fuck out of here.
Your Florida humor is not landing. It's landing with a thud.
I don't care anymore.
That's a good one, though.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. It works most of the time. People will say, do you need a bag for that? Or whatever. And I just, whatever it is, I go, no, I'm going to eat it in the car. And usually they'll, you know, I'll get a chuckle.
Uh-huh.
This guy was very disconnected, but I think that they were doing a major inventory because the two ladies that run the shop were in there. So it looked like it was a tense time. But when I went into the bathroom there, because I had to pee. Well, that's one reason. Okay. And then also, you know, in country club, in fancy country clubs, they always, or at golf courses, I guess, they usually have sunscreen in the bathrooms for you to put on.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's I don't want to show off or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like I needed some sunscreen yesterday because it was really hot and, you know, like cloudless sky. So I put some sunscreen on, and on the speakers that, like, that play throughout the entire golf shop and the whole cart area and the driving range and all that. Mm-hmm. My man Joe came on with "Life's Been Good."
Yeah.
Yeah,
nice.
And
nice
I thought to myself, because I always get a little intimidated going into those places because I'm not very good, and quite frankly, I'm not a golf member there, so I don't really belong. They'd let you golf when it's 100 degrees out, and you might die of a stroke.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, wait a minute. First off, life has been good. Here I am, and number two, I know Joe Walsh.
Right.
I can go out there and say I'm going to eat it in the car if I want. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they like me or not.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of cool, you know?
It's cool, man.
And then I thought I should text him and tell him that I heard it, but then his songs played all over the world all the time. You know, his songs are played all over the world all the time, so it's probably not, it wouldn't be like, oh, cool, you heard it in Florida?
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Right. Neat.
Like every minute of the day somewhere.
Yeah.
But one of the songs is probably playing.
But it's not that it was playing in Florida. It's that it created a meditation for you of appreciation, which is a good thing. I mean, it's definitely nice to know that your songs don't just land on the ears, but they land in the heart. And that one landed in your heart.
Yes, it did.
Nice.
It set me off, it set me out there with a good attitude.
That's nice.
Yeah. And so, also something that I learned from Nick Saban on the Golf Channel.
Okay.
That you can't worry about, you know, the last hole or the last shot. You can only, it's like next play. You just worry about the next shot.
And so are you extending that past golf to life, or are you just thinking about golf? Because if you're thinking about golf, it's lame. If you're thinking about life, then that's good.
I'm thinking about my next wife right now. Is that good or bad?
Is Nick Saban a great golfer? I wouldn't think he had time for golf.
No, but it was some sort of SEC golf tournament or something.
Oh, gotcha.
It was like just some pre-recorded show on the Golf Channel.
You see him complaining that Texas A&M is using NILs to recruit players. He's complaining about unfair recruiting practices. It's interesting.
Oh, because the name and likeness thing?
Uh-huh.
Huh. I did not know that, but I did not see that, but...
That is a big thing now. That's going to be a game changer. It's going to make people want to go to schools that support you and help you, or where you have an audience.
Sure.
Like, who's that? John Daly? His kid signed an NIL. He's had that.
So
one.
Now that's a name and likeness.
Yeah, you get to
license.
Yeah.
The school grants you so that you can sell your name and likeness to various sponsors, right?
Yeah.
But John Daly's kid signed one, and he's not really he's not a tried and true golf pro yet, but he signed one wherever he goes to college.
Well, might as well, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, that put me out there in a good mood, and I had fun. I mean, I still got a long ways to go, but I actually played 18 holes.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
it's cute because he calls me at about, well, he called
well,
me.
I said I was going to play 9.
Yeah, to tell me that he's still upstanding. And yesterday he took a cooler, which was good. So he had some cold water with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I took a cooler and I went to the gas station and I bought Gator Light. I think it's like their version of Pedialyte.
Okay.
It tastes like Pedialyte. And it's only 60 calories for a big, bottle of it. And I put that in the cooler.
All right.
Yeah.
So it was like cool because then I didn't have to worry about him dying. And it's so empty down here and there are so few people golfing that I think if he fell asleep on the golf course or if he, fainted or something, only an alligator would find him.
Yeah. And then you'd have to drive back to Chicago all just by half myself. It, just with whatever's left of him.
Right. In a bag.
In the cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's correct, you know.
I was a wellness check and I appreciate it.
Probably yeah. A shorter ambulance waiting time, though. This might be a positive.
Sure. Yeah. Well, things are a lot. Yeah, there's not
fewer people dropping
dead down
over.
Here. Well, yeah. Things are dead down here.
Yeah.
Literally. Keep talking amongst yourselves. I'm looking for something.
Janet, I was thinking of you yesterday. I was making paella. And,
paella?
I was in one of those giant
you have like
bowl, ever- pans?
In a big,
see now there's a twist
red
to it.
Copper wanna, pot.
Okay, and what are the ingredients?
So I'm not sure what's in
and substitutions. Well, there's rice, there's shrimp, there's chicken, there's beef, right?
Oxtail. It's mostly seafood, right?
I didn't use any of that. I just all was right, so. Whatever I thought paella might have been. I just chopped up.
It's like rice and seafood.
Oh,
what did you think it was?
Well, I just used.
Hold on, I want to get our notepads out for the recipe.
I chopped up dozens of vegetables: cucumbers, tomatoes, onions, potatoes, tomatoes.
You sure it's not a ratatouille?
Peas. I don't think potatoes.
Yeah, ratatouille.
Are a vegetable.
It sounds much more like a ratatouille.
Are potatoes peas. A vegetable?
No.
Just look for what you're looking for. We'll handle this.
Okay. I found it.
It was Irish paella.
All right, Irish paella.
All right.
Potatoes. Rice. I rice some potatoes, and then I put potato chunks on the riced potatoes, and it's and a tomato sauce. Oh.
Was there rice involved? Yellow rice?
I didn't use any rice.
Apologies to any of our Spanish listeners.
I browned some turkey, some ground turkey.
None of these things go in paella.
And then I just put all the vegetables in. I was chopping so many vegetables, and then
broccoli?
I put some Hunt's red sauce in there, like
ketchup. You mean
ketchup? In other words,
no, they're tomato. They're spaghetti sauce.
Paste or sauce?
Actual spaghetti sauce?
Yes, yeah, spaghetti.
Sorry, I thought you spoke Italian. I guess you don't.
A canned pasta sauce.
Spaghetti.
Then I put all the vegetables in there. I let it simmer for a little bit. And I started eating it, and I realized.
Sounds like you made a really bad turkey pasta primavera.
Well.
What did you put it on? Spaghetti?
No, I just ate it as a butter.
On everything bagel.
Well, and then I started to realize after I had a few bites, I'm lucky I'm not cramping today because I forgot to cook the potatoes properly. Like
cramping?
Well, you get cramp real bad if you eat raw potatoes.
You do?
Right?
You're Irish. I'm sure you would know.
I've never eaten raw potatoes.
You tried eating a potato like an apple once?
Son, when you're making your paella, make sure that you cook the potatoes. You'll be cramping all day.
I wish my great-great-grandfather was in a little thought bubble above my head last night when I was making it. I completely forgot to cook the potatoes.
It would send your potassium off, I'm sure, to try and digest a raw potato, but... That sounds like a horrible meal, Brendan, and I think you need to get a cookbook.
What made you think you should classify it as a paella?
Exactly.
It just seemed like a paella. There are so many things.
You don't know what a paella is, though, apparently.
I guess not.
Before this, you could not name an approximation of a paella.
I know we've been to resorts where we've had paella.
Like you cook it in a pot the size of a garbage can.
Yeah, yeah you do.
Yeah, it's a giant pot.
It's an all-day thing. Yeah.
And mussels and clams and shrimp.
Usually some sausage.
It just seemed like if it was just something with a lot of ingredients, that's a paella.
My mom used to call that must go. And she'd say, we're having must go for dinner. And that meant everything that was left in the refrigerator.
That's must go without the T?
Must go.
No, I thought it was must go. I always thought it was must go, like M-U-S.
No, it's must go.
Must go.
But she said it with... flair, and so that just meant anything in the refrigerator was either repurposed or served in bites and we would clean the refrigerator.
She could have called it paella. You guys thought you were on a Spanish adventure.
Branding. It's like Branzino.
Okay, so late, if I may, just share with you. Mm-hmm. Late in the round, at some point I put my earbuds in, and I was digging my playlist on my phone. Because I'm by myself, so I might as well enjoy some sweet rock music, and this came on, and I'll just. Now that's the real Don Steele, who I grew up listening to, and I'd already been set in the right direction by Mr. Walsh, and I just gave myself goosebumps, like on the 17th fairway or something. No, I was on the green, I guess, and I mean I actually had one birdie yesterday, an actual birdie.
Hey,
but
congrats!
I grew up listening to the real Don Steele. He was like one of my idols, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time ever, I think, I realized that I'd actually achieved what I set out to do. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Because when you're doing it, you know, I mean, you never, you can't necessarily enjoy it.
You don't always look up for the larger view.
Yeah.
You're just in the thick of it.
Yeah, and I was like, wow. Look, it was great to hear the real Don Steele. Who ended his show every day with Tina Delgado is alive, alive. And she was a girl that was struck by a train because she was listening to her transistor radio with the earpiece in.
So he made a sick joke like this?
Yeah.
And this is
no
your
wonder
idol.
You liked him.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, this, but it was, you know, he was a
formative.
Pro-rock statement.
It was formative.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, so that, it was cool to hear the real Don Steele.
Yeah.
But then, There's some awesome.
Let it roll. All right.
There's some awesome scat singing here in this one. The Lizard King
poet.
Dog taking notes. I don't even need to learn the lyrics. I can just scat. I have to go, honey. I'm sorry. I have a call.
Oh. Well, you want to do Ask Janet tomorrow?
Yes.
Because we're recording tomorrow's show today.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow, Janet has me penciled in as...
Slave.
This would be good practice for my alien slave days when they get here. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I just have to go because I have to change my phone to airplane because our signal's not good enough.
Right.
And I won't
she
hear it.
She has an important police department call.
Yeah.
I guess they're finally going to apprehend. Now, before he moves, they're going to apprehend Brendan. He's got some outstanding warrants in the Springs that he's been dodging for decades.
That's right.
So
they'll find you. They always do.
You know, prepare your pack a toothbrush. Because I don't think you want to use the... Anyway, just a little bit. So you'll come back for tomorrow, which is really just going to be today, later today?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Because we do have some emails for you. I don't know. I was really getting off on it. I was like, I've heard this song a million times, this version of it from Live at the Hollywood Bowl in 1968. But it's just like, my man is just tripping.
Yeah.
Come, come, chitty, come, come, come.
He's on a roll. For
Lizard
sure.
King.
Yep.
All right. So then, but I want to play you this end part because it's awesome. Hold on.
All right. Hey, listen, man. I don't know how many of you people believe in astrology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, baby. I am a Sagittarius. The most philosophical of all the signs.
Can you hear that girl?
Yeah.
That's like, paint it black, you devil.
She wants to get backstage.
Oh, yeah, I bet she did. I bet she did.
But anyway, I don't believe in it.
I don't either. She's
I think it's a bunch of bullshit myself.
But you just said you were a Sagittarius, the most philosophical sign. Whatever.
Tell you this, man. I tell you this. I don't know what's going to happen, man. But I want to have my kicks before the whole shithouse goes up in flames. All right. All right.
All right. All right. So, and then it goes into my on the playlist, Constant Craving.
Is that my, oh, Constant Lang. Craving.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That is a great album.
The Katie Lang?
That what's that album? Yeah, that Katie Lang album.
Ingenue.
Great album.
Yeah. Anyway, those were the musical bookends of my day.
Wow.
Cool.
But a Kong Kong kid, a chit, a Kong Kong. Yeah, you know, the other doors are like, what are you doing, man?
Come on, Jim. Wrap this up.
I'm a Sagittarius, the most philosophical of the signs, but I don't believe in that bullshit. Okay. Whatever. Why'd you bring it up then? I don't know. Because I want to have my fun before this shit house blows up. Okay. Or whatever he said.
I want to get my kicks before the whole shit house goes up in flames.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, when is the Pete Townsend's birthday show?
Oh, that's tonight, man.
Tonight.
Tonight at Hey Nani.
Hey Nani.
All right.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that yesterday. The Pete's on my playlist.
What song?
There were a couple of them. Pure and Easy.
Oh, nice. Right? The solo version.
Solo version. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
And Slit Skirts.
Oh, wow. A good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just 34 years old.
Yeah.
And I was still wandering in a haze. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Isn't that one? Sorry?
No, go ahead. Yeah, it's from All the Best Cowboys Have Chinese Eyes. One of the most curiously titled albums.
Which you can't say now. I mean,
no.
You can, but you get in trouble for it. Yeah. It's amazing how many of the songs, the classic rock songs, have stuff in them. I was listening to a Beatles song.
Run for Your Life?
Yeah. If I catch you with another man, that's the end. Duh. A little girl. Bow, bow,
bow. I'd rather see you dead, little girl. Can you believe that, Brendan? The Beatles.
This was
so on woke.
I forget what it was, but it was about I used to be bad my school.
Oh, I used to be cruel to my woman. I beat her and kept her apart from the things. I was, whoa.
Yeah. But it's getting better. So that's,
okay.
That's the note.
All right, cool. That's great to know. You're beating her less, let's say.
All the time, getting better all the time. Getting so much better the time.
It's a work in progress, don't you know? Yeah, I beat it like they sing it so jauntily. Yeah. I beat her and kept her. Come on.
We're all just digging Beatles. It through the AM through our AM radio. Yeah, right on.
Sounds good, lads.
Yeah.
I'm George. Beat my wife a bit too, boys. Who does it? Time for tea.
Fabrini's Flowers, FAB, Roast to Order, roasttoorder.shop, 10% discount if you use promo code Stever. Fabrini's Flowers, FABflowers.com, 888-885-2000, promo code Stever, saves you 10%. Goose Island beer. Drink it. Enjoy it. The beer, the cart lady, normally I'll get a Coca-Cola from her, but yesterday, because I had my Gator Light, I told her I didn't need anything. But I was getting cups of water from the bathroom. They have like bathrooms and water and ice stations, you know, scattered throughout the mm-hmm. course.
Mm-hmm. So did she sell you a diaper?
Well, you know what? The water tastes really bad.
Yeah. Golf water?
It tastes sort of like it came from the toilet. Uh-huh. And it made my stomach upset.
Ooh.
And I think, remember that day when I met Jennifer for dinner and I got all...
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, sideways. I think, and when I've gone out with the Spangles, Keith, my man Keith, always has this some sort of a powder that he puts in the water. He says, makes it taste better. And I was like, oh, it's just water. But then yesterday, it sort of tastes like recycled sewage water.
Jesus. But Alex Jones is right.
But it might just be Florida, you know?
Swamp water.
But there are places on the course where it says, like, you know, like waste area. And they do use recycled water to water the golf course and stuff. So
sure.
So I made a note, a mental note. Also get some bottles of water next time.
Yeah.
Or get some from the lady in the cart.
You could buy her a beer. You could buy her a goose.
Sure. Or give her a goose. You know.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I didn't. She didn't. She seemed okay with it.
She doesn't care.
Yeah. Well, I think she cares, but. You know, it was actually right before I started, and I was too concerned about, you know, starting. So,
You know, you mentioned the Pete Townsend show. It's his birthday today.
Hey Nani, and now the second show, are there still tickets available for that one?
Yeah, that's got a few seats available, and okay. I think the first show, the 7 p.m. show, probably pretty close to getting sold out, although I think there's some general admission tickets.
GA?
GA, as we call them in the biz.
Yeah.
There's some nice table seats that's still available on the floor there for the 9 p.m. show. And anyone wants to come up? Brendan, you're more than welcome to be there if you want.
Awesome. Awesome.
We'll just do a walkthrough?
Yeah. Yeah, blue eyes. That was a good one. All right.
No one knows what it's like. Am I right?
Boy, hit me close, man. Yeah. Nice going. I was pretty choked up. I had to step out early. Things too fucking real, man.
What I wanted to talk with Janet about, This Is Us, but we can do that on tomorrow's show. Speaking of choked up, because we did watch that last night. Good luck with that. And how many tunes do you guys do? Do you just know them by heart, or do you have to rehearse them?
I don't know how many we've got, 15 or something like that. I think we have a lot prepared, and there's stuff that we could do without rehearsal if the spontaneity. So, you know, dictates.
Mm-hmm. I could yell out a song.
Yeah, like what would you yell out there before
Boris the Spider?
No, that's not a Pete Townsend song.
Nice.
What did you say, Brendan?
I just repeated what you just said.
Oh. Okay.
Echoing.
Well, you guys have done it before, right? So it's
We have, yeah. Yeah. It's
cool.
Yeah, we've done it a bunch of times.
What will you start with? Do you know yet?
I don't know. I don't think, like, we've been practicing things in a certain order, and I just don't know if that's going to be the final list, you know? We might go with some, I don't know. That's a great question.
What's the deepest cut that you guys will probably do? Pete Townsend cut.
Well, there's a few of them. I would say one, there's an album they did called The Who by Numbers, which is not like one of their big sellers, but it has the song Squeeze Box on it, and that's kind of a lesser Who tune in people's opinions. But it's
I like
got
that
some real,
song.
Do you? Okay.
It's peppy.
It is, yeah. It's
Does
got
it have
a sexual nature
on
to it?
It.
No.
Yeah, all right.
That's another one.
Yeah. All right.
There's a song called Imagine a Man, which is, I guess The Who have started doing it, but it's a really good tune, and it's a great album. If you haven't listened to The Who by Numbers.
I have not.
I think you should
time.
Check it out. It's kind of raw. There's no like synthesizers or album concepts or anything like that. It's just kind of Pete feeling a little bogged down by life and business and approaching his 30th birthday, I think.
I'll check it out.
Check it out. So I think that's one of them. I think we learned a song by Simon Townsend because Pete produced his first record. And
gotcha.
So we're kind of deep cup in that way. You've
opened for him, right?
I have. Yeah. I think two times, maybe at least once. Yeah, that's been that was pretty cool.
Cool. Well,
anyone who can't make the show, thank you. Anyone who can't make the show, I encourage them to come see Expo 76 Friday night. See, this is a big rock weekend for me. Mm. I'm fully on Friday night at the venue in Aurora, Expo 76, with special guest Robert Cornelius. 8 p.m. show.
And remember, they're not Hepcats. They're alligators.
Yeah, man.
They're alligators.
Please come out. Please come out. And as I say, and mean, and make good on.
Free hugs.
Yep. Brendan, would you be, as you're walking through, why don't you just hug him
when you walk through?
High five or hugs? What's your approach going to be as you show up tonight for both shows?
Hug, like, will I go underneath the guitar in the strap?
No, you I also hug hugging you. Listeners.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Based on what I've read in that book of his, I don't think we want him touching listeners. I think we're open for some kind of litigation.
Oh, yeah. You should talk.
Correct. You're right. All right. Well, cool. Well, you got a lot going on, man.
I do. Yeah. And then Slug's practice on Saturday.
Jeepers.
Come on,
man.
What's going on?
My fingers. What does he say?
I've got blisters on my fingers.
Yeah. When I was getting better, I'm like, oh, getting better. I love this song. And then it was like, you beat my wife.
Did he just say I beat her? And
or
sing
his
it?
Woman, I guess.
Yeah. Kept her up. Like, okay, so beat her and held her hostage.
Yeah.
Denied her any sort of enjoyment. Because I'm a fucking beetle, that's why.
Fabrini's Flowers. Dave Hull, the Hullabalooer. Another guy I grew up listening to. He was the... As I believe they had in Chicago, there was like a Rolling Stones DJ and there was a Beatles DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I feel that Dick Biondi was the Beatles DJ and Clark Weber was the Rolling Stones DJ, but I'm not sure. But in L.A., Dave Hull was the Beatles DJ. And I forget, I don't know who the Rolling Stones DJ was. He might have been the Real Don Steele. I can't remember. But usually at each station there was one, so... They never worked at the same station. Anyway, Dave Hull was invited to go to the Bahamas and be around and record interviews with the Beatles for the making of Help.
Uh-huh.
And he told me that it was the most amazing, like... This is a quote that it's probably politically incorrect or not woke or whatever, but he said girls would just line up in the hallway of the hotel.
Yeah.
And wait for their chance to fuck the Beatles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet.
He said it was the most amazing thing he's ever seen. And that's all. So.
Wow.
I feel, I don't even know for what that's worth, but that's what
they got around those Beatles.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Goose Island
and
beer.
They must have been smart about condoms and stuff too, because otherwise there'd be a billion Beatles children running around the world.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like somebody must have been Brian Epstein or somebody was like.
Right.
There was a chance for him to see their dicks. Anyway.
Let's figure out what size you want, Paul. Okay, we'll give you one of these.
Let's just wrap it nicely. And all right, you're good to go, John.
The rest of you could leave John and I alone for a minute. He loved John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who didn't? Well, Mark David Chapman. Fabrini's Flowers, 888-88, I can't remember where I left off here, 888-885-2000, promo code Steve or saves you 10%. Goose Island Beer, promo code Steve or saves you 10% at Roast to Order, too. Goose Island Beer, it's the beer, the official beer of the Dollcast. So get some and drink some today. It is time now for the Dollcast Subscriber of the Day.
For all that you do, so generous and true. Today the slime ball spotlight shines on you. Thank you.
Hi, Stever. Dogger. Brender.
Hey.
Wanted to offer up my bona fides to be an SOTD. I've been listening since your second day at DAI in 1978. Your first day was a school day.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my first day was George Washington's birthday. So you might have just not known. They wanted me to be on a day where nobody would be listening.
Nobody, yeah.
Yeah.
Smart move.
Yeah. You were listening, though.
Sure was.
I was a senior in high school. Sorry for being a dude. That's all right. I've been a listener and fan ever since. I've, you know, because I like it when I, you know, when I got him in, if I got you in high school, you know.
Got you
when
for
I send
life.
Out, when I send out the signal, the secret mm-hmm. signal,
yep.
you'll all come.
Yep.
And by that, I mean respond. I've been a listener and fan ever since. I've called into your radio shows occasionally, notably once to inform you and Gary that Joey DeOria had had a heart attack at the Bozo show.
What was your fun take on that?
I don't. I think I just.
No one took him seriously. Oh, Joey, come on now. This is serious. You're not even in costume.
No, I'm not going to touch your. I'm not going to feel your pulse. You probably got a joy buzzer on, man. I'm
right,
not doing
I don't want to get squirted with a flower.
Yeah, no way, man. I'm not doing CPR on you.
Yeah.
Plus, if you did see mouth to mouth, then you'd get clown makeup all over your face.
Right.
Yeah. I do remember that, actually. And once to hook you up to a website where you could perform a virtual total knee procedure the day before Wendy Snyder's own surgery, which I think I did use to creep her out. It was one of my favorite things to do. And now, ironically, I'll be having probably the same surgery.
Hmm.
And she won't
Have you
be able to
her?
Lay a glove on me. Mm-hmm. That I should text her?
Uh-huh. For advice.
What up, girl?
What up? No, I think, you know, we come in contact with them. They live out by us. We're all good. We're good. My long-term experience with you was raising with my much smarter wife, our three kids who are very similar in age range to your boys. Most everything you've shared over the air or the internet would strike a chord with me. I'm sorry, I'm reading this very offhandedly. I don't mean to. Would strike a chord with me. We're a little behind in the grandparent race, expecting our third grandson in June. Oh, come on, man. I'm 9 ahead of you.
Come on.
I honestly don't know how we have 11 grandkids. I mean, I do know, but it blows my mind still.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rare, but occasionally somebody will be able to top me. Like, well, we have 13. But off of three originals? No, we had five kids. Well, you know, get back to me then. Because I turned three originals into 11. 11. It's one more. It's 11. We're a little behind in the grandparent race expecting our third grandson in June. Congratulations. And I have a grand pup named Brompton who looks like Rosie's big brother.
Wow. Brompton.
Brompton. That's a cool dog name.
Yeah.
I've been a fan all along, but I have to say that your present lineup or setup slash lineup is by far my favorite.
Well,
you, Dog, and Brendan make me laugh out loud regularly. So, whispering, thank you.
Ugh.
John Kelly is our Dollcast subscriber of the day.
For all that you do, so generous and true. Today the slime ball spotlight shines on you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank yeah. you. All right. Good luck tonight, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Even though we are going to talk in like an hour to do tomorrow's show. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. You know. Should I pretend it went really well?
No, I don't think because it's the day that we're leaving. I feel that we shouldn't, you know, I just be up front and say we need a day.
Actually, will you pretend it went really bad? That'd be kind of fun.
Let's try that.
just throwing stuff around.
Right.
I don't fucking want to do this today, man.
Pretend that you were there too.
Yeah.
You know, I kept yelling substitute. I don't know why you couldn't play it.
It's not that low-hanging.
Me for him, my Coke for gin. I mean, come on, man.
It's good stuff.
It writes itself. I mean, well, he wrote it, but
the
you know
what
I mean.
The chord spelled D-A-G. What are you waiting for?
Yeah. Is it D-A-G?
Yeah, buddy.
Wow. So many songs written in your honor.
Mm-hmm.
By me, even.
Yeah.
Although I tend to go more with the G-C-D.
So, yeah, I think you're down in that area.
Pretty, yeah. Well, it only takes one finger. You only have to move one finger. Kinda.
That's your trick.
Yeah, well, you know.
All right, guys, get out of here.
All right, we're going.
The Steve Dahl Show is done right now.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that. If you liked it, there's plenty more where that came from, but you probably won't get another free one for at least a month. So I recommend going to Dahl.com and signing up today. Take care. Thanks.